All right. What's up, y'all? Welcome to back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm joined with Gretchen Schlabach and Dr. Jim Berry. This was Dr. Jim Berry's idea. He said, Dr. Schlabach is such a brilliant lady. We need to get her on there to talk about anything because she can talk about anything and just make us all feel so much smarter. He's got his own mic there. So
I got this one right here.
Yep. There you go. All right. So welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Berry, we were wanting to cover, was it CYA information?
Professionalism, I think, is what Gretchen is the former chair of the NATA. At that time, it was called the Ethics Committee. Now it's called the Committee of Professional Ethics. And now she is the NATA
chair
of the
Professional
Responsibilities Committee, NATA. So, and they kind of work hand in hand with the Committee on Professional Ethics,
or
COPE.
All right, so we're talking about professionalism with Dr. Schlabach. And we just finished talking with Alicia Pennington, again, another, I think that's a young lady in the profession, talking about elevating the profession as an athletic trainer. So, Dr. Schlabach, talk a little bit about your experience and why professionalism is important to you.
Well, professionalism is important because it helps to helps athletic trainers demonstrate their professional conduct. And where that comes into play and how important it is that society's looking on our profession to provide some services to them, and they need to trust that we're competent and caring professionals. And without that notion of responsibility or professionalism or ethical conduct or legal conduct, we just don't act like other healthcare providers. And we need to really focus in on those concepts and really demonstrate and convey to society that we're very competent individuals and you can trust us, because that's part of what we call that implicit social contract that society has with all individuals in healthcare.
Super. There's how, and I was just trying to think as I was coming over here today, Gretchen, some things we could talk about and so on. And one of the things that came to mind was how have you seen, you've been in this profession a long time, like I have, how have you seen professionalism and professional behavior change over the years?
Professionalism and professional behaviors have changed. I believe it's changed because the emphasis in athletic training has changed. When you and I grew up in athletic training, we all had a mentor who would tell us that we needed to act this way and we needed to conduct ourselves this way and we needed to wear this kind of uniform or dress in order to convey that we are truly professionals. Today, our academics are being stretched in a variety of ways, and that parcel of information is getting lost because technical skills have to be taught, other skills, knowledges have to be taught, and we are so focused on the technical and the knowledge skills that athletic training, I believe, hasn't spent a lot of time talking about the concept and the notion of professionalism. Today, we really don't have a uniform idea of what professionalism, and I would like to encourage the Strategic Alliance to consider developing a statement of what it means to be a professional, what is professionalism, and from there, we as a united group of 44,000 professionals can help develop a standard by which we all abide by.
All right, so you said you want to develop a standard of professionalism. Where would you start if you were making that list, if you were setting that standard? What would that look like for you?
That's a great question. That's why I gave it to the Strategic Alliance. I think we need to look at professionalism in terms of really behaviors and conduct. That's the most important thing to me. And if we have standards relative to those behaviors and conducts, I think that will inform the way we convey our professional conduct on the field and off the field. I think we also have to have some sanctions in place should professionals not abide by these professional standards. I think it's really important. In fact, I was talking to a woman today with as many years of experience as we have, and she's looking for a notion of professionalism that we can convey to other professionals about that this particular activity may not be unethical, it may not be illegal, but it certainly is unprofessional in her eyes. And I said, well, if that's the case, then we need to really know what professionalism is all about. So I think professionalism really sits between law and ethics. And it's that gray area that we all know what it looks like in our own unique mind, but we need to get all of us adopting that same uniform conduct and that same uniform mindset in order to be professional.
All right, so as you're talking about, we all need to kind of be on the same page moving forward. Some of the arguments that I hear is, you know, even Alicia, I was talking to her earlier, I feel she's really good in professionalism, but she has said, you know, when I work beach volleyball for the summer, I'm wearing sandals and shorts, and some people would say that's unprofessional for her. So as you're discussing professionalism, can you explain a little bit more, like, specific? And I understand you would prefer to give this to a strategic alliance, and they could come up with a very good list, but just give me a picture, a realistic example of what that looks like for me.
Right. Well, for you, I think it's about what does it look like to the public. Again, we're trying to scratch and claw our way up to being a qualified healthcare profession in the eyes of all the folks in society. And if we act in a different way or conduct our in a different way, we get lost in terms of them understanding our true technical competence and our knowledge competence. And it's a shame because I understand the beach wear at the beach, and I understand you can be as professional as can be by wearing a more suitable garb for that. But I think when you're standing by maybe a paramedic who might be suited up in a different way, standing next to the ambulance, they begin to really wonder, you know, are they truly professional if they're in their beach garb covering a beach volleyball game versus, you know, their professional uniform acting as a athletic trainer. You know, it's about, you know, impressions make a huge difference. And I believe that because of that, we've got to really bite the bullet and not just simply say, well, I know I'm professional, but we've got to let society know we're professional as well.
Okay, so what are some of the other ways that you feel we can do that? Because dress, again, you know, that's come up lots of different times, lots of different ways. Again, if we're addressing professionalism, a lot of the people that will be listening to this, I just want to hear real-life examples. What does that mean to you? Because if I don't understand what professionalism is in my profession, then I can't portray or help somebody else perceive that professionalism in mine.
Well, I think the easy way to demonstrate professionalism is by adhering to some common professional core values that we all share. And right now there's two or three common professional values that I see in all our professional standards, and that's respect, integrity, and compassion. And I think if we remember those words, our behaviors are going to act in such a way that we would convey respect, compassion, and
integrity.
So I think we need to be mindful of those values. They will help us in our decision making. They will help us stay on the professional track, and we'll all look uniform as a profession.
And I think that's true, especially if you look at what the core values are of the association. We've taught you hear a lot about the compassionate care the last mm-hmm. year or two, mm-hmm. and that's obviously a core value of the NATA. Mm-hmm. And I think probably as an organization, and I think Gretchen would agree that we probably could do a better job as an organization in promoting and encouraging those professional core values.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Jim. I could go on this subject. But I think what's clear is that we need to identify a set of shared values that all of us share. Not just a certain group, but all athletic trainers share and say, hey, gang, these are our core values. And when people understand that these are my values, then you're more apt to defend them at all cost. It's what we call more of a values-based orientation to compliance to practice standards, as opposed to a more of a rigid compliance top-down. These are your standards. You must abide by them. So it comes from within as opposed to coming from without. And I think we can change behavior and decisions and all kinds of actions and ideas if we know what our basic set of core values are. We explicitly articulate that throughout the profession. So it doesn't matter if you work in a clinical setting or a secondary school setting. You both share the same values, and your behaviors are going to look very much alike. And so I think that crosses districts as well. You know, District 1 might have a certain type of behavior that's unique to them, and District 10 might have a unique set of professional behaviors that are unique to them. But if we have those same values, they will merge together and will have morph into a similar conduct, regardless of where we live, in what practice setting we are, how old we are, young or old. I think professional values is the way that we can really start to zone in on professionalism and developing the professional and helping the profession.
So being regarded as a leader in professionalism and athletic training, what are some of the ways that you feel like you have effectively taught? I know you said it should be something from within, but what are some of the ways that you've taught that process to students or mentees about professionalism?
Yeah, that's a great question. What I've done in my classes when I taught at Northern Illinois University was we take the code of ethics and we take the four principles and gut out all the sub-principles under each one of the principles. So we had principle number one, no sub-principles. Principle number two, no sub-principles. Principle number three, no sub-principles. And we'll put that to the side. Then I would ask the students, I would give them a list of professional values to select from, and they would identify their top one, two, and three professional values. So my class would have their first value, their second value, and their third value. And let's say that's truth and honesty, respect, and accountability are their top three values. I would take those values and put truth, honesty, and respect under each one of the four principles of the NATA Code of Ethics. Then I would ask them to say, okay, under principle number one, respect is one value. Give me a quote that you would like to live by in your professional student role at Northern Illinois University. And they collectively would come together and develop a quote that really suggested them respect under principle number one. Then we would do that for integrity as well, or truth and honesty as well. Give me a quote, and they would do a quote. And that would be the same for accountability, and they'd give me a quote. So under principle number one, they filled those slots up in truth and honesty, respect, and accountability with a quote that really means something to them. And they hold on to that. We do that also with principle number two and principle number three and principle number four. Now, we just established our class code of ethics for Northern Illinois for the class of 2012. They lived by their own class code. The hard part for my students was when I asked them, if somebody violates your class code of ethics, what will you do? And the first answer I had was, you know, well, Dr. Schlaubach, you'll take care of it. And I said, well, no, this is not Dr. Schlaubach's code of ethics. This is your class code of ethics. So then they had to really think, how do they figure out how they responsibly evaluate whether somebody has violated the code, and if they violated their class code, what do they do with that information? How do they process that? And they kept with that class code all 4 years. So that's an example of how we use those code of ethics or those professional values for professionalism.
Yeah, it's definitely, you can't expect somebody to have them if you don't teach them how to have them or how to create them.
Right. Okay,
so it's like setting goals. You just teach them how to create them. And if they continue to set those goals and say, okay, this is what we agree to, this is what we're going to live by. Mm-hmm. And so if the joint committee comes up with those, how do you perceive us doing that same activity on a large scale? Because if I didn't come up with those, then I might not agree to them.
Well, here's what I would encourage you to do. This is what we call reconciliation. And we all have to reconcile that we're a professional, that we're an individual, and that we also work in an organization. So we've got three major roles that we're dealing with. My personal goals may not be quite in line with my professional goals, and my professional goals may not be in line with my organizational goals. So we've got to learn how to be resilient and understand that the world doesn't revolve around me when I'm wearing a certified athletic training shirt on my body. The world is about coming together and understanding that there are times where you're going to have to work collaboratively with other people, and you're going to have to adopt whatever it is that community has set for that particular venue. And in this case, it's professionalism. So the community, let's say, have adopted truth and honesty, integrity and respect. If that's the case, then, you know, before they even volunteer to become a professional in our profession, volunteer, we're not forcing anybody to, they need to understand these are the values we live by. And if it's so against your own personal values that you cannot reconcile those values in a professional mindset, then this may not be the profession for you.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I was, when I was, again, thinking about coming and having this conversation, you know, just the other week, the Supreme Court ruled that an individual can deny service to someone based upon their own personal beliefs and moral beliefs and so on and so forth. And how do we go about, and I think you just actually may have answered that question, you know, how do we help them, a young person who wants to go into athletic training or a healthcare field, reconcile that fact that, hey, your personal or moral beliefs may not jive with what your employer or your organization or field of profession asks of you. And certainly a lot of that is also dependent upon whether you're employed as the owner of a healthcare organization or you are an employee. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Let's say I'm an athletic trainer that owns a sports medicine clinic, and I have those particular beliefs.
Well, the way the literature talks about that issue about when there is a disconnect between your personal values and your professional values, what happens? And the literature would talk about the notion of burnout is what happens when somebody has to adopt the corporation's values or the association's values. They end up burning out because it's so stressful on them. And they oftentimes, I've read in the literature about nursing, what if you had a nurse who was a Roman Catholic who truly believed that abortions were not appropriate for women, and they worked in a ward where they were providing abortions. That became a very stressful situation for that particular nurse or nurses who worked on that floor if they were Roman Catholic and really slapped against their own religious beliefs, and they ended up burning out and leaving the profession. I might submit, if we knew our professional values, if we had an explicit set of professional values, it would help to help people who might be interested in our profession to know whether or not that they can embrace our core values or not before they even start the curriculum program. Maybe that becomes part of the admittance process into a university, that how can you, if, for example, integrity was a core value, the question might be, how do you demonstrate core value in your day-to-day practice or your day-to-day life? And you know, maybe through understanding about an individual's core values, we can make decisions as to whether or not they would be successful in our professional program, be successful in the profession, because nobody wants to go down a road that is just intolerable for them to be in. So, anyway.
Anything else?
I'm at a blank right now.
All right, so obviously professionalism, there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen. There's some change that needs to happen. Dr. Slabach, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to find out more, or say, I have this situation, or possibly can you send me that lesson, that activity of creating core values? How are they going to reach out and how are they going to get a hold of you?
They're going to reach out to me by simply using my email address, and that's gaschlabach@AOL.com. And if you would put athletic training in the subject line, I will definitely open that up within 24 hours. That's my secret code to get a hold of me if it's a professional.
There you go. All right, so Dr. Jim Berry, obviously you're on here for a reason, very knowledgeable. Someone wants to get a hold of you.
They can reach me at my email address, drjimberry@gmail.com, drjimberry@gmail.com.
All right. Again, this is Dr. Jim Berry, Dr. Gretchen Slavak, on the Sports Medicine Broadcast while we're live at NATA talking about professionalism. If you want to get a hold of them and you didn't catch that, then you can email me, again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, and I have both of their contact information and can get that out to you as soon as possible. So, guys, thank you so much for joining us here at NATA New Orleans, and thanks for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.